is The Talking Dead, a podcast dedicated to the AMC TV show The Walking Dead.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chris.
And my name is Jason.
And this is The Talking Dead number 596, recorded on Monday, September the 19th, 2022. Welcome to the program, everyone. You too, Jason. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing well, and you too, Chris. We covered this last time.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Doing all right. Been a bit of a
super,
you know, busy last week and stuff like that, but things are chugging along, as they usually do.
They do. They, whether you like it or not, God damn it.
Things keep chugging along. That is for sure. We are into, I mean, I know it's still technically summer, but it kind of feels like we're getting into fall a little bit now, at least where we live.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready. I got into the car this afternoon to go to Tim Hortons because I do that every now and again.
Once in a while.
And I sat down and it was like, I saw a couple of leaves on the ground and it was kind of hot, but not really hot. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think the summer's over and I'm ready for fall.
Yeah. I like the fall. I don't mind fall at all. And I think I'm ready for it too. So,
and I thought about living in somewhere in the world where the seasons don't change. Mm-hmm. It's either hot or too hot.
Right.
And I don't want that. I like this. I like the winter. I like the change up. I like the, you know, having to change things up. And, you know, now we got to fight with snow pants.
Yeah.
Making sure my son has snow pants on before he leaves the house instead of sunscreen.
Well, I've often had that thought myself. Like, what is it like for people that live in California where it's always summer, right? Like, how do you measure the passage of time by the changing of the seasons? And that's what we do. And I just figured that's what everyone does. But when it's always summer, you can't be like, oh, remember last winter when we did that thing? Well, there's no such thing as last winter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. I don't really understand it. That being said, I really love the weather in places like that, and I could use it a little bit more here.
Yeah, but not all the time.
I guess not all the time.
And that's the nice thing about places like that, is that you can go to places like that when you're in the mood for places like that.
I suppose.
I like places like this. And I like to live in places like this because I much prefer shoveling the driveway than mowing the lawn. Oh, my God.
Do you? It's interesting.
Mowing the lawn is too fucking hot. Shoveling the driveway is just right. Because if I get too hot, I can take my coat off.
Right.
And that's fine.
Okay.
But if I'm mowing the lawn, I can't take my coat off. It's just too goddamn hot and there's nothing I can do about it. So I much prefer it.
You could be out there shirtless mowing your lawn if you wanted.
Nobody wants that. Not me, not you, not the neighbors, not my wife. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Well, I don't think I would do that either, but I'm just saying it's an option.
I might do it as a joke. Oh, boy, my family would freak out if I did that.
Well, listen, feel free to podcast topless anytime you want if it's too hot.
You and I Skype video, right? So yeah. Still, nobody wants that.
I can see you right now.
Yeah, I know.
And Jason has a shirt on. I don't know if he has pants on, but he has a shirt on.
Well, I've got, you know, gym shorts on.
Perfect. That's all you need.
I got my nighttime soft pants on.
I like it. So do I. All right. Well, now that that's out of the way, I've got nothing else to lead off the show this week. So that's fine. We're going to jump right into the season finale of Tales of the Walking Dead. It's season one, episode 6. And it's the last one. We've made it through, Jason, another complete season of a Walking Dead show.
It happens. It's becoming more and more frequent.
It sure is with all of the shows that are on the go right now. But this one is called La Donna or La Doña. I don't know. I don't want to offend anyone by my pronunciation, but there is an accent on the N and I think it's La Doña.
Cool.
All right. Season one, episode 6 of Tales. Here's the plot summary. A haunting tale of an apocalypse traumatized couple who may or may not be tormented by a haunted house. Frightening memories coupled with inexplicable phenomena in the house take a toll on the couple's psyche and their relationship.
Oh, my.
I mean, that sounds scary.
It does sound scary.
Right? We'll see. It's directed by Deborah Campmeyer. It stars Daniela Pineda as Idalia, and Danny Ramirez as Eric. Now, I do want to point out, Jason, that you might know Danny Ramirez from some stuff. I don't know if you recognized him, did you?
I know the name.
Well, he was in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I don't think you've watched, right?
I have not. Maybe an episode?
Okay, well, he was in that, and let's just say, without any spoilers, I think he's primed for a significant role in the MCU in upcoming stuff. So we might be seeing a lot of Danny Ramirez in the MCU, but also he was in Top Gun Maverick. He played Fanboy.
I'm looking at that right now. Yeah. Well, summon up, bitch.
Fanboy. Call sign Fanboy.
Nice.
So
I did not pick up on that. I obviously need to watch that movie at least 7 more times.
I mean,
I've seen it once in the theater, and that's it so far.
Yeah.
And well, I thought I burned the whole thing into my memory, but apparently burning the whole thing, it's like drawing a picture on sand. Mm-hmm. You can draw a beautiful picture on the sand, or painting, or, you know, sculpture. You can do whatever you want in the sand, but goddamn it if it isn't transient.
It's so fleeting.
I'm feeling that my memory is kind of the same thing. It could be like, absolutely, that is the most important thing that I've put in my memory to date. I'm going to hang on to it. But my mind is like a pile of sand, and it just flattens out after a while.
It gets washed over and flattens out and resets every once in a while. Yeah.
What I need to do is take about 20 years worth of memories and offload it somewhere. Like, just, you know, put it on the cloud somewhere. You know, an Azure Blob Storage, just kind of throw it over there, stick it in Blob Storage, and be done with it for a while. And if I need something out of it, I can do some searching and find out, you know, what happened when I was 7. I can do some searching and find that out. But really, on a day-to-day level, day-to-day basis, how often do I need to know what happened when I was 7?
Not that often.
Nothing.
Never. Yeah. Well, if you figure that out, let me know, because that would be handy to do. But I think Danny Ramirez is an up-and-coming star. I mean, MCU, Top Gun, Maverick, you know, he's got some, I think he's got some stuff ahead of him, which will be exciting.
Nice.
But for now, he's in Tales of the Walking Dead. So those are the two main characters, Idalia and Eric. And I'm just going to sort of recap the cold open of this episode, because it sort of sets things up. We have these two characters, and they are going through the forest, and they come to this old house where a woman is living named Alma. Now, this is a place where Idalia is aware of, and she calls Alma like a healer, you know, a little bit, what's the word? I don't know, does that kind of stuff. And Eric uses the term witch. So, yep. You know, casts spells, things like that, right?
It's all the same thing. It's all a matter of, you know, there's the actual meaning of a word, and then there's the connotation of a word. Right. It's like, it's the difference between aroma and stink. They basically mean the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Smelling stuff.
Yep.
Some things have an aroma, some things have a stink. They have different meanings.
Yeah.
But they essentially mean the same thing. So healer, witch, yeah, I can see that. But they have different connotations.
Different connotation, exactly. So anyways, they get to this place. Alma wants them to leave, but says, you know, you can eat dinner here, sleep over, leave tomorrow. Eric's not so happy about this. He questions her. They're eating dinner, and he apparently, what I think anyways, he startles her while they're eating, which causes her to choke on the food. She jumps up and then falls down, slamming her head on the table, and she's dead. And this couple ends up taking refuge in this house, and it kind of plays out from there in a sort of a haunted house / ghost story kind of way, as the plot summary mentioned.
Yeah, and that's how murderers describe things to the police when they get brought into an interrogation room.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you were having dinner with this woman, and now she's dead. What happened? I stood up suddenly, she choked on her food, and then she fell and hit her head really hard on the table and died, and there was nothing I can do about it.
Right.
It's like, bullshit.
Well, one of the points I made is that while she's choking, neither Eric or Idalia tried to help her. And I think, and I'm not sure what the show was trying to get at that point. Were they intentionally not helping her? Was one of them, like maybe Eric, intentionally not helping her because he was thinking, oh, you know, if I just omit doing anything here, she's going to die and then we can take over this house and we have this great place to live and be safe in. Or were they just sort of like paralyzed with fear in the moment and couldn't do anything? I don't know, but neither of them helped.
Yeah. I mean, it happened pretty quick, you know, for someone choking on their food and then bashing their head in and, you know,
yeah,
a couple of magic off buttons for human beings. So it was awfully quick either way. So they didn't really have a lot of time to react. And there was more than one thing going on too, right? It's like all this choking and stuff. And when that started happening, I watched the episode. Like I actually watched the episode, which is always nice to hear, right?
It is good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched the episode and when she started choking and then she fell down and died and all of a sudden there was blood splatter and spatter, both of them. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to have to go back and see that. Cause I thought maybe he stabbed her in the neck. Like cause he got up suddenly. I'm like, did he stab her? No, didn't stab her. She just started choking. Well, and then she fell down and whacked her head and there was a blood spatter.
I think he pounded the table, right? He got frustrated and he pounded the table, which I think caused her to inhale sharply and maybe draw some food into her esophagus before she was ready to swallow and then was choking on it. And then that's when she jumped up and fell down and bashed her head and nobody helped.
Yeah, that happened to me today. I was eating some peanuts and apparently I was...
Say that again.
I was eating some peanuts.
Thank you.
Peanuts. Did I mispronounce that as penis?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Well, it was definitely peanuts.
Okay.
But I guess I was trying to learn how to breathe peanuts because, and I needed some practice. So I started choking on some, like just a little, you know, little piece of peanut.
Yeah.
And it was very uncomfortable. It wasn't really life-threatening in any way. It's just like, that's in the wrong spot. I eventually got it.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that is the case. I know what you mean, though. Like, if you get a little peanut dust, like going down your throat, maybe if you know near the bottom of the jar. I know what you mean. It's not very pleasant.
This getting old thing really kind of is scary and sucks.
You know
what I saw the other day. This is a complete tangent. Like, we haven't really started, and I'm already on, like, seven different tangents. I watched the President of the United States, Joe Biden, climb some stairs to get onto Air Force One.
Uh-huh.
And he was being so careful, because he's, like, a million years old. And
right.
God damn it. Get an elevator for the poor man. Don't make him climb those stairs every time he needs to get on a plane.
I think he's perfectly capable of climbing the stairs, but I don't blame the guy for being careful. Like, I worry all the time about... going downstairs too fast and rolling my ankle and falling down and dying.
That's the thing. That's the absolute thing is that every time, like now my brain is starting to plan things out carefully. Like, God damn it. I still have practice to do for chewing food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to be more careful with that. Luckily I don't live by myself with like 17 cats. Cause as soon as that happens, then I just become cat food before somebody finds me. But that, you know, at least I have a family that can find me quickly.
Yeah, that's nice to know.
That's nice to know. It's nice to have a family.
All right.
Anyway, getting old sucks, and you got to plan things out more. You can't just do stuff. It's like, you have to have a good reason. It's like, Dad, come here. It's like, you better have a good reason before I start to get up from this chair, buddy. It better be important.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Well.
So what was the point here? Oh, yeah, she choked on food and fell down and died. Right?
She did. Okay. She
fell
down and died.
So, old lady, you know, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You can't just swallow, start breathing food. You have to plan these things out.
Yeah. Good advice. Be careful when you're eating and doing other things. Anyways, that's basically the cold open. And like I said, the rest of the story kind of plays out with as sort of a haunted house kind of experience. So this couple stay in the house. They decide to live there. Idalia, somewhat reluctantly, because she doesn't really think it's right. And Eric is like, I can't believe you want to like waste this perfectly amazing, sweet ass house that we can just live in now. And at first, the episode, I think, is almost entirely from her perspective, because she starts seeing and experiencing things that aren't real. For example, in the basement of the house, she sees a zombie coming out of what looks like an overgrown tree roots kind of in the basement.
Yep.
Now, you know, by the end of the episode, I wasn't sure if that was real or not, but for now, I think that's sort of a hallucination on her part. There's the scene where she sees the little mini Jesuses coming off all the crosses that are attached to the wall and attacking her. That's definitely not real.
What? That doesn't happen to you?
Not very often, no.
No, okay. Well, no. It does happen every now and again. It's not that you have so many Jesuses on your walls, no. But, you know, it's like Elf on the Shelf.
Right. Sometimes right? He just gets up and attacks me.
May I compare Jesus to Elf on the Shelf? No, you may not. Let's move on.
Okay. There's a scene where she's out in the fog and she's kind of swiping at nothing because she's hearing whispers out there. She thinks she's being attacked. And then there's a scene where they're lying in bed and she sees the wallpaper kind of blinking at her. There's shapes on the wallpaper that looks like eyes and they start blinking at her.
Uh-huh.
And in the same scene, she imagines Eric biting her neck. And a lot of the times when these things are happening, Eric kind of comes to her rescue in a way. He sort of shows up and snaps her out of it or whatever. But she is hallucinating a lot of weird shit in this house. And, you know, Eric gets his own later, but for now it's mostly her. And that's how the episode kind of plays out. There's a lot of hallucinating coming through this one character, which is different than last week's episode. But I couldn't help but think it was a little bit the same, too.
Well, I don't know if it was the same. Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions before we get into too much further. So I've talked about my take on horror movies.
Right? I think so, yeah.
Watching horror movies. So with that in mind, let's play a little game of what does Chris think that I thought of this episode?
Okay, exciting.
Yeah. So what do you think I thought of this episode?
I'm going to say you did not find it scary and therefore kind of it didn't have a real impact or effect on you.
Yeah, it was boring. I find scary movies are scary shit when I watch them by myself is boring because the scare factor doesn't work on me, and that's a major part of the entertainment.
Right.
If I knew that this episode was going to be like this, I'd have gone to Dave's house and watched it with him. Dave is wonderful to watch scary movies with. He loves scary movies, and he loves to be scared by scary movies.
Yeah,
the scarier, the better. So watching scary movies with Dave is great.
It's more fun.
Watching scary movies by myself is boring as shit.
Uh-huh.
So this was... you know, it got to the point where I was trying to figure out what was going on, like what's real, what's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped caring. I don't care what's real. You know, sure, Jesus jumps off the wall. Sure, the wallpaper's blinking at you. Yeah, the old lady shows up every now and again and points a finger at you and goes, this is my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then the basement swallows you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. So I was pretty close. I think you found it boring. I'm not too surprised about that. I sort of liked it. I couldn't help but think, you know, this show overall, Tales of the Walking Dead, is relying on things like this, where it's a hallucination, or it's a flashback of a guy getting his memories back, or it's a shared psychosis, right? It's all of these sort of in-your-mind type things. Now, that's only 3 out of 6 episodes, but 50% of the season involves something like this. And so I was a little disappointed when I realized what we were seeing here. But at the end of the day, I came off kind of liking this episode because when I put it all together and I watched it the second time and I wrote down all these notes about it, I'm like, yeah, you know what? This wasn't so bad. And if this was the first episode in the season, or it was more of a, or there were less episodes that I thought were kind of similar, I'm like, maybe I would have really liked this one. So I don't think it was a fault of the episode itself, but maybe the way it was positioned in the season, or just what it was surrounded with in terms of the other episodes, that brought it down a notch for me.
Yeah.
I think
in 6 months, I'll probably not remember any details about this episode. It'd be, that was the scary one. And that'll be the most details.
Right. Talking
about my sieve of a memory.
Yeah.
It's forgettable for me.
a little bit forgettable. I can see that. So
unlike what we were talking about earlier today, unlike the episode of The Walking Dead where Negan kills Glenn and Abraham.
Uh-huh. No one will ever forget that.
Not the season finale where they fucking, that shitty season finale where they didn't tell you,
yeah.
But the season premiere where they actually told you. I used that as a benchmark for how long I've owned my computer. Like that, and I was able to reason it out by that episode. That episode is, it's a core memory for me now. It's a benchmark. There was before that episode. Well, that, you know, happened to be around the exact same time my son was born.
Right.
So that's lucky.
Yeah.
So I used that episode as a benchmark. Whereas this episode, I won't remember it in 6 months.
No, I hear you. I got it. They're definitely different. Those are two very different episodes in this Walking Dead universe. So that's mostly Adalia, right? And then Eric, as the episode goes on, he ends up having his own kind of hallucinations too. And it really starts with him and this parrot scene. So there's a parrot that lives in this house, which I guess was the old lady's, but you know, now the parrot needs someone else to feed him. So he, you know, he's been interacting with the parrot a little bit, but the scene that really goes off the rails for him is he hears the parrot. He goes out into the hall. While he's out there, pictures fall off the wall. They start falling off the wall because the sort of house is shaking, and each of the pictures depict him killing a zombie. So his own like memories sort of what they've been through. And the bird is making noise. He goes after it. He thinks he's trapped it in the bathroom, but suddenly he's standing there in front of the cage with the dead parrot in his hand. And Adalia comes in and says, "What did you do?" Which is actually the same line that the bird was repeating. One of the lines that the bird was repeating. Which I thought was
premonition bird.
I thought it was a nice touch. Yeah, the other things the bird says are "I'm cold" a lot and "don't hurt me" along with "what did you do?" So
happened in real life, by the way.
Did it?
There was I don't know if it was a parrot per se, but it was a bird that could learn how to talk.
Yeah.
And it was present during an actual murder of his people that he owned, and the person that inherited that bird, because they live a long time.
Oh, yeah.
The person that inherited that bird went to the police and said, you know, the bird is like saying things like, "No, don't hurt me. No, don't put that gun away. Don't hurt me."
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And they used that as evidence to convict the killer. I forget the exact circumstances, but an actual talking bird did that shit.
Well, I mean, that's what birds like this are used for in movies and TV almost exclusively, to reveal something about the character that is dead, or reveal something about a character that is dead or not able to speak for themselves for some reason, right? The parrot just regurgitates things it's heard, and then, you know that it reveals something about what was going on, I guess.
It's actually more than that. Like these, the talking birds that can mimic stuff, they have, when they learn things, learning how to say words and stuff, and even, you know, basic rudimentary counting and such, when they're put in their cages at night, they will practice. They'll practice with themselves. They'll just say, you know, go over things with themselves, what they've learned that day, and reason it out.
Yeah.
They're smarter than we give them credit for. Like they're actual, I believe that these talking birds, parrots and cockatoos and the like, have a low-level sentience. Like, they're pretty goddamn smart.
Well, I mean, they're talking and they're teaching themselves stuff.
It's not just mimicry, though. I think it's actual reasoning.
So in a couple hundred thousand years, parrots will be speaking full English and freak me out a little bit. Wow.
Yeah, they'll invent money, and then what happens when animals invent the concept of rudimentary money is they invent the concept of prostitution.
Well, and that'll be the downfall of the animal kingdom, just like it's been the downfall of humanity. the invention of money.
Or it's not a problem at all and should be completely legalized.
Oh,
you
maybe.
Take your pick which stance you want.
All right. I'll think about it and get back to you.
Yeah.
So that's the parrot. That's, you know, I thought the parrot was a cool, nice touch to this episode, but, you know, Eric kills the parrot. That's a bummer. And then, you know, continuing on in him start seeing things and hallucinating things, he goes outside and he thinks he sees a character called Maria outside the gate, living alive Maria. And he goes to let her in, but turns out it's a zombie and Adalia shows up and saves him this time. Yeah. We know Maria because at the very beginning of the episode, when this couple are walking through the forest before they get to the house, there's a zombie following them. That is Maria. So this is a person they knew, and one of them says, she's still following us, and the other one's like, don't worry about her, ignore her, just keep going. But Eric sees her outside the gate to this property and goes to let her in because he thinks she's alive.
Yeah. So he's hallucinating.
Yeah. So both of them are hallucinating things now, and when one of them is seeing something, the other one tends to show up and snap them out of it. That's kind of the back and forth formula we had here that I picked up on. Then, go ahead.
I was going to tell you a story about this guy that was living in his apartment.
Uh-huh.
Somebody kept breaking into his house while he was sleeping. Ooh. Like, they would break into his house and they would write post-it notes and stick it on the mirror in his bathroom saying, you fucking idiot, or I'm going to kill you, or, you know, various threats and stuff. And they do things like mess things up or change things around or just mess with him. And always while he was sleeping or not home, he was out at work or whatever. And this was happening for weeks until he finally figured out that it was carbon monoxide poisoning, and it was all him leaving the notes and messing up all his shit, but he couldn't remember it because he was being poisoned. So so my first thought when I saw this was, boy, they'd need a carbon monoxide detector. Like, they got hot water, so they probably have a hot water heater, and if that's the case, they might be, they could probably use some kind of gas detection in the household because they're really experiencing something in there.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting thing you bring up, because I did ask myself the question while watching this, what is causing this? Why are these two hallucinating? Did the old lady put something in the food, for example? Is there something in the water? Is there some other reason? Is it, you know, is it something less tangible than, like, they're poisoned, for example, and they're hallucinating these things? I don't think the episode really gets into that. But the next thing that happens after, you know, Eric sees this woman at the gate is they go into the kitchen and they have this conversation. And she does give him some water, which he immediately spits out, and he says it tastes weird. And so then I'm thinking, yeah, okay, maybe it is the water. Like, maybe this is a hint that, you know, they're actually poisoned or whatever, and it's causing these hallucinations. Maybe there's going to be a twist at the end where the old lady's still alive, for example, and she's been kind of running a haunting scheme here to get them to leave. I don't know. But ultimately that does not happen, and I don't think we ever really have a true answer on if there's something physical that's causing them to have these hallucinations.
I don't know. See, that's the thing, is that obviously there's something going on here. They can't both be crazy. You know, we've already had a folie à deux or whatever it was, shared psychosis, which
right.
I've done a little bit of research on, I gotta admit.
You've been reading up on it, have you?
I read up on it a little bit. And so we've already had that. So we can rule that out, because there's only six episodes. They're not going to rehash, you know, an idea twice in the same, you know, they have done that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think, but I was a little worried about that again while starting off this episode, but it's not that.
So, okay, so we got a couple of options here. We got a poltergeist situation, right? Mm-hmm. So they're actual, an actual deity of some kind fucking with their shit. Mm-hmm. Or they fucked with the old lady's shit, and she's a Jedi and she's come back from the grave to not give advice but to mess shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I would do if I was a Jedi. Like, why the hell wouldn't you mess with people if you come back?
Sure.
Ben, come this way. You know, come right towards this big giant ice hole. Anyway, So that's the first option, is that we have an actual honest to God poltergeist. So we have more supernatural shit. Mm-hmm. And this is The Walking Dead. It's supernatural to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, we got to remember that this is not reality. This is a supernatural event that is occurring. The dead are walking around and messing up humanity. So we have supernatural is normal in this universe.
It is, unless you take the approach that the dead getting up and walking around as zombies is the only supernatural thing that's happening in this universe, and everything else is just like our non-supernatural world.
Yeah, except for the soft heads, right?
Well,
we can. Yeah, okay, so we've got other slight differences here in the universe, but that's fine.
I guess so, yeah.
But it is supernatural, so we have to allow that for as a possibility. So that is a possibility that we have an honest to God super poltergeist or supernatural event going on here, haunted house,
uh-huh.
Honest to God haunted house.
All right.
The other situation is that they're hallucinating.
Yes.
So maybe it was just her that was hallucinating. We're supposed to think that, but then he starts hallucinating, but maybe he is a hallucination that she's having, and therefore his hallucination is her hallucination. You know, it gets complicated that way, right? Yeah. I thought for a while that he wasn't real. Because I always think that. And as soon as I see any evidence of an unreliable narrator, mm-hmm. I start thinking one of these people isn't real.
Right.
Okay, Fight Club really broke me as far as that goes.
Yeah, okay. Let's not get into that.
My first thought was that one of these people isn't real. And but then we started seeing things from his perspective. And it's really hard to see something from a person's perspective and not think of them as a real protagonist,
mm-hmm.
right? Usually it's, you know, if she was there all the time anyway. So we got a shared hallucination. So that could either be caused by, you know, carbon monoxide or mm-hmm. some other gas, poison, yeah. Something in the food, voodoo, what have you.
Okay.
And then the third option is, I'm not sure there is a third option. Well, I was hoping I would think of something.
It's fine.
You have one?
Well, I think your second option in that they're hallucinating is the one. But the thing you're not thinking about is, what about mental anguish? Mental anguish is causing these people to have these issues and hallucinate things. And I think I've got this all figured out, but it requires a little bit more explanation. So they're in the kitchen. He spits out the water, and then they have this conversation about Maria's group. Remember, Maria is the zombie that was following them and the woman that Eric thought he saw alive at the gate. And he mentions a time when Dahlia was out looking for food with Maria, and Maria ended up with a broken ankle. And apparently Maria's friends didn't believe her, Dahlia, I mean, and they implied that maybe she broke her ankle on purpose, maybe to take the food, to take the supplies. And at the time, Eric defended her. And then Dahlia mentions a time when Eric got a bunch of guns from these people, and yep. she's implying that maybe he hurt them or killed them to take their guns. Now, we don't see the guns in this episode. I don't know if there are any weapons or guns anyways in this one, but we get these two sides of this story, both of which involve these characters potentially doing something that's not so cool, not so friendly, at least to Maria and her people. And on top of that, a big part of this episode is Dahlia being upset or being unsure of whether they should just take over this woman's house after she died, whether they should stay there, if that's the right thing to do, if maybe it's not, maybe they should leave. And at one point she even is like, I'm packing up, I'm leaving in the morning, we're out of here. And so I think both of these characters are racked with guilt over something. And I think this episode is about guilt and a feeling of what you might experience when you are overwhelmed with a guilty feeling for doing something. You know, they mistreated Maria and her group, both of them. And on top of that, Dahlia feels guilty about taking over this woman's house when they shouldn't have. She's also upset with Eric for not feeling the same way, to be honest. And so I think that's all piled up on both of these characters. It's causing them mental anguish. It's causing them to hallucinate. And that's what they're experiencing in this place.
I'm with you right up until the causing them to hallucinate. Guilt and stress does not cause people to hallucinate.
Why not? It might. It could. I mean, mental anguish. Think of it like that. Like they're.
Well, I think there's a. I don't think there's a cause. I think there's a contributing factor. So I'm not sure that stress causes hallucinations, but it might trigger, an event where you do hallucinate. But you're probably mm-hmm. predisposed to that, and it's a chemical thing rather than a stress-related thing.
Yeah.
So I think that they're related but not causal, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I get what you're saying. But my point is just that well, I guess the point is The Walking Dead has addressed things like this a million times over, right? Like, can you live with the things you have done to survive in this universe? And I think this is very similar to that, but I think it's expressed a little bit differently in that, in my mind anyways, they're both feeling a lot of guilt for things they've done, which is just one part of being able to live and survive and continue on knowing that you've done some horrible things, right? Is it okay because it's the friggin' zombie apocalypse or not? It doesn't really matter if you feel guilt or bad about it. And I think both these characters are, and you're right, maybe that alone isn't what's causing them to have these hallucinations, but maybe it's a culmination of things. And
yeah,
that's
kind of
what I took. It's what I took away from this, because I realized that both of them are looking back at something and going, I don't know if that was the right thing to do.
Absolutely. I mean, guilt can cause a lot of things, contribute to a lot of things. And think of it this way. You remember that time I fell down and got a bunch of stitches in my head?
I sure do.
I keep bringing it up. It's a fucking watershed moment in my life. I'm not going to forget it.
No.
So what happened the night before is that Jasper had a cold. And he was up most of the night, and I was up most of the night, and I was taking out the garbage, and it was raining, and I was tired, and I didn't feel like taking out the garbage, and I was walking outside with the garbage, and I tripped over whatever, my own goddamn feet, what happened, and I fell, and I hit my head. So, does that mean that lack of sleep causes head injuries?
Well, no.
In this instance, it kind of did, but, you know, generally speaking, no. Falling down causes head injuries.
I know.
Lack of sleep can contribute to falling down. Right?
Yeah, of course.
So it's yes, in this one instance, you can build a chain between this event, head injury with a bunch of stitches.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, being awake the night before doesn't cause head injuries. Like, you don't wake up and go, ow, God damn it.
Yeah.
Now my head split open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. But often TV shows and movies, you know, simplify things and boil things down a little bit and say, okay, maybe we're not showing you all of the other contributing factors here, or we're just kind of hinting at them, but this is the one we want to talk about. This is what we're focusing on. And so, yeah, by itself, it doesn't cause this situation, but it's a big factor. And in my mind, this episode was an examination of that. An examination of guilt, feeling guilty for something, and then what that does to a person.
Yeah, like it can definitely eat away at you.
For sure.
And just be a nasty thing. In my experience, you know, complete, utter, horrible guilt can cause you to shut down, but right. I don't know about hallucinate.
Yeah, well, in this world,
it can make you do some weird stuff, fucking stuff.
Like, for sure.
You'd make some bad choices, but hallucinations, not in my experience.
No, of course. But all I'm saying is for these two people in this scenario, it caused hallucinations. And that's how it was depicted anyways in the show. And that's when I sort of thought, you know, I realized that and I'm like, you know what? This episode is okay. At least it has a point. At least it's examining some part of the human condition, you know, feeling guilty for something. And I kind of like it for that. I have to give it credit for that.
Well, when you've done something wrong, the spirit world will come back and get you.
Right. So be careful.
Yeah. yeah, they're not messing around.
No, not messing around. So at this point in the episode, this is where things for me really start going off the rails entirely. The house starts shaking more.
We got Evil Dead 2 happening.
Right. We got some Evil Dead vibes happening. We absolutely 100% do. This scene and then the final scene too, to be honest with you. Little bit Evil Dead vibe there, but the house is shaking, stuff's falling off shelves, breaking. You know, the couple, Eric and Adalia, are screaming at each other. They just aren't getting along anymore. And at this moment, they look out the window and we get this classic zombie hand busting out of a shallow grave, you know, straight up into the air. It's cliche, but I kind of liked it. I don't care. I thought it was a fun scene. And this is Alma coming back out of the grave that they buried her in.
Yeah.
And I had fun with that scene. I wasn't so sure. I'm like,
also Evil Dead, right? Sure. So maybe was that it?
Well, Evil Dead, but it's kind of classic zombie, right? Like,
well, that's why Evil Dead Evil Dead is so popular that it kind of put that kind of spin on something, a classic horror.
Yeah.
Tropes.
Yeah. I thought it was a fun scene. Eric and Adalia end up like fighting amongst themselves. They end up back in the basement where this overgrown tree is, or tree roots are, which we saw earlier on, which I thought was a hallucination. They're both down there. They're pulled into the roots again, and that's it for them. It's kind of revealed that there are plenty of other people in there. So is that a thing? Are those roots and the zombies stuck in them real, or is that all part of the hallucination?
Yeah, the house eats people. I just have to assume that the house eats people.
Well, I started thinking, I think maybe that is the only thing that is kind of real. The house, there's a tree growing into the basement of this house. There are zombies stuck in it. Maybe Eric and Adalia are not the first people to come to this house and not the first people to be, you know, pulled into the roots in the basement. And that's why there were so many others down there. Basically, they're not the first victims of this place.
Yeah, it's a Venus flytrap. We got a Venus flytrap Evil Dead situation going on.
We do. And I must admit, I found the end to be kind of chilling. Like, it was creepy and you know, what it implied of maybe this house has been eating people for a long time. I was kind of creeped out by that. So, at the end of the day, I thought it was a decent episode with a pretty good ending.
Okay. I can see that. I can accept that. My entire position on horror movies and this particular episode is that they don't work on me. It's all me. And I accept that. It's me. They don't have the effect on me that they have on other people. And so it's kind of lost on me.
Right.
I'm a lost cause.
You are a lost cause.
And speaking of hallucinations, have I ever told you about the last time I watched Evil Dead 2, which was in 1995?
That's a while ago.
It was the only time I ever did mushrooms. And only time I've ever taken a hallucinogen in any way, shape, or form. Okay. Went over to my friend's house. He's like, I got something for you. And he made mushrooms, heated them up, drank them. And then we watched Evil Dead 2.
Okay.
And it was fucked up.
It is. Even if you're not high.
Yeah. And I did not like it. And then his roommate came home and he's like, oh, you guys did the mushrooms, didn't you? And Ian said, yeah, we did. And so he did the worst thing he could think of. And this was planned on purpose. He's like, I'm going to fuck with these guys that just took mushrooms and wanted to watch a movie. And he did the worst thing he could possibly think of. You know what that was?
What?
He started cleaning. He just started tidying up all the stuff and he was sweeping and then he started vacuuming and stuff. It's just like, I gotta go. I can't stay here. I gotta go. And I got the hell out of there. And I've never done anything like that again because it was awful. And I still, to this day, have not watched Evil Dead 2 since then.
Well, I think maybe you should.
I don't know. I'm scared of it.
Well, yeah, it's awesome. I love Evil Dead 2. I love the whole series.
I love the movie, too. I love it. I thought it was fantastic before that day. I still think it's fantastic, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid to watch it.
Ash versus Evil Dead, the TV show. Did you watch all of that?
I did not watch any of that, Chris. Oh. I know you podcasted about it. I'm fucked up as far as TV shows go. It's like, okay, I can't watch that show. It's too good.
Well, the best part about, I mean, I loved the show. Frankly, but the best part about podcasting about that was just, you know, got together with the other guys and recorded that. And it was just like us sitting around going, oh my God, wasn't it so great when this happened? And didn't you love it when Ash did this? And oh, did you hear what he said here? You know, we followed along and talked about the story and all that stuff too, but it was just so fun to watch and so fun to talk about.
Nice.
That was a good time. So I recommend that. But anyways, this episode had a little Evil Dead vibe to it as well at the end. And for me, it all kind of came together. So, you know, it doesn't connect into the greater Walking Dead universe at all. But, you know, I think that's a good thing. And I had a lot of fun with this one.
Good.
Even though I did think it took a little while to get going. You know, up off the top, I'm like, oh, great, hallucinations. We can't trust what we're seeing. Boring, you know, but.
Horror movies are like that, aren't they? They're like, you know, build up, you know, a few scary things here, sex, like there was sex involved. Like she got up, she wanted to move out after they started having sex. And then she got scared for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like, fuck that. I'm leaving the house and I'm leaving in the morning. You can come with me or not.
Well, and she suggested they go in the bath together. Right. Yeah. It's fun times. Well,
yeah, never turn that down.
No.
It was very tropey. Like they really set out to make a classic horror story. So I'm not really sure whether it was effective or not because again, I don't understand.
Okay. Well, I thought it was pretty effective. All right. Well, that is Tales of the Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 6. It is the final episode of the season. Before we wrap up, here, Jason, we've now seen all six of them, and I'm going to try to go through each one by memory here. The first one was Terry Crews and Olivia Munn on their little road trip, and they meet up with Crazy Clown Face Lady in the house.
And the goat and the sheep or whatever the hell that was.
The little lamb, yep.
Little lamb, yep.
The second episode was... the shared psychosis episode, right? The Groundhog Day. The third one was the early days of Alpha and her meeting the her little boat trip and then meeting the Whispers for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one was Goose from Top Gun, the scientist studying the
Dr.
zombies.
Dr. Green, yep.
Right? Studying the zombies and what he's doing. The fifth one was Devon and the memory loss and being accused with murder. And the sixth episode was this one about Dahlia and Eric.
Yeah.
So there's the six episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead. Which one, Jason, was your favorite?
Second one.
Really?
Because there was just so much there to unpack.
Yeah.
I've done research after it. It absolutely was the highlight of the season for me.
All right. No hesitation. Episode number 2, Groundhog Day a la Walking Dead or Walking Dead a la Groundhog Day, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you put Parker Posey on the screen and I'm all in. Like ever since, like even when we watched the episode, it's like, yeah, Parker Posey. Yeah, for sure. I'm in. Like I'm on board. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Well, could you say which one was your least favorite?
Either the first one.
Uh-huh.
With Terry Crews, which saddens me to my core,
mm-hmm.
or the last one with the...
this one that we just talked about.
No, the one before this one.
Oh, really? Devon last week in the murder?
Yeah.
Child murder?
I think so. Although I do like a good child murder story, apparently.
Well, not always.
I have a hard time. If I'm watching a true crime something or other or listening to a true crime podcast and they start getting into family annihilators, I'm like, yeah, I'm out. I can't.
Right. Right.
I can't do it.
For me, I don't know. My favorite, one of the last two, number 5 or 6, because I liked last week's. I didn't think any of these, I should say, I didn't think any of the episodes were amazing. And a couple were not super great, but I thought these last two were pretty good. I don't know. I might take last week's over this one, but it's close. And then my least favorite one, probably the first one too, to be honest with you. Because
how
it was,
can you go wrong with Terry Crews and Olivia Munn? Like, how is that possible to be bad?
Well, it's because the story was not there, right? Like, these two go on this road trip. None of what they do makes any sense. They make poor decisions and they end up in that bunker at the end and they decide to move on. They just leave it, right? It's full of stuff. They could be safe there and so on. Set up shop. So I think that episode made the least amount of sense and it just didn't have the story behind it. You know, Groundhog Day was pretty good. Watching Alpha, I mean, it opened a lot of questions about, you know, just the Walking Dead universe and how the Whisperers came to be and all that kind of thing, but it was okay. And she's amazing, of course, as Alpha generally. And then I didn't like the one with Goose very much, or Dr. Green, or Anthony Edwards, whatever you want to call him. And then these last two I thought were pretty good. So there you go. I'd say this season probably gets, you know, I mean, 50% of the episodes I would give a positive review to, maybe just a little more. So that's not great, but it's not terrible.
All right.
I suppose.
I'd probably give it a 7.5 out of 13.75.
Okay. Someone do the math on that and figure it out. All right. Okay, everyone. Slightly shorter podcast this week, but that's okay. Here we are, Jason, 2 weeks away now as we record this from The Walking Dead coming back for its final episodes. Are we going to podcast next week? I must admit, I don't know yet. Maybe we will, if there's some listener feedback to do or news. There is some news items I actually wouldn't mind going through. So maybe a quick one next week. But if we don't get to that, I apologize. And we will definitely be back 100% for when episode 17 of The Walking Dead comes back on October the 2nd.
The third half, baby. I'm excited.
The third half of the final season. It's going to be amazing. In the meantime, everyone, if you want to support the show and you want to get in on the Patreon Prize-a-Palooza, which will also be starting then, or returning then, you can go to patreon.com/thetalkingdead to make a small monthly pledge and become a patron of the show. And then eight more times, we're going to be choosing a patron to send a prize pack to, and there's definitely some good stuff left over. You know, I didn't actually open, you know, go back into the Talking Dead prize vault quite yet to pull it all out there, but I will, and it'll be all ready to go. So patreon.com/thetalkingdead to become a patron if you want to get in on that, or just support the show. We super appreciate everyone who does that. Otherwise, get in contact if you want. You can visit talkingdeadpodcast.com, click on send voicemail at the top to leave a message. It'll get sent right to us. You can find us on Twitter @talkingdead or send emails to talkingdeadpodcast@gmail.com. All right, Jason, that's all I've got. You have anything else?
No, sir.
All right.
Sorry.
No problem. Until next time, everyone, my name is Chris.
My name is Jason.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.